And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I see the beginning of a pattern which I'm afraid might continue. And that pattern is one in which the Republicans seize the initiative. What they want to talk about is what people talk about. What they put forward is what people get concerned about. And of course, that's going to devolve into useless talk about Hunter Biden and how he's about to bring down the universe and other things of equally insignificant significance. So the question I want to ask for you is, do you think it's better for the Democrats to let the Republicans do that on the assumption that it's so ridiculous that people will turn away from it in disgust? In other words, play some kind of an aggressive defense? Or should the Democrats themselves go on the offensive and promote a progressive agenda and dare the Republicans to oppose it?
Well, I think it's somewhat of both. If you remember my four rules for political success, rule number four is always play offense. Now, as far as talking and talking points, the Republicans, of course, have this great echo chamber led by Fox News, or so-called news, and Newsmax and whatever, and their various people that have got different podcasts and what have you. Don't forget, in the last election, the midterms, there was a contrast with regard to the extremism of the Republicans who were messaging all this stuff out there. And they failed, essentially, to have this red wave. But in general, I think you do have to play offense. And, I always talk about compare and contrast. And there should be a forceful agenda coming out of the Democrats. There have been a lot of things done. You know, we still get this, well, what has Biden done, which is the Republican talking point, but there's this whole litany of things that he has gotten done, the Democrats have gotten done, but there's a lot more. Now, they're not going to be able to be effective in getting things done because the House is going to stymie them, and certain things can only start in the House, but at least you can set yourself up for things that you want to do and that the Republicans then would have to oppose. I start with raising the minimum wage. That was something that our new senator, Fetterman, proposed, and I was expecting him to have an early bill on that. I haven't heard that since. But you've got to go out there and say these are the things that we want to make America better and make America truly better. You know, Trump and Trumpism, they rely on the headline. The most important part of any story is the headline. Or on television, it's the chyron, the little blurb that appears below the talking heads. And when you talk about the Republicans, a lot of times there's nothing much beyond that. And we've talked before, that's what Trump wanted from Zelensky. He wanted a headline. We're investigating the Bidens. He didn't care whether there was an investigation, just say there is. And with Jeffrey Clark, we're saying that the election was fraudulent. Or we're going to look into the fraud in the election. But we don't care whether you do it or not. You just have the headline, and we'll take it from there. That's how they operate, and it's effective for a large number of people in the United States. Not everybody, but if you do the compare and contrast and you do these other things, I think you can win over the again the voters if they get to see things that way.
Well, but the Democrats have to do it.
Yes.
I mean, it's not, in other words, what you're saying is it's not enough to allow Marjorie Taylor Greene to spout off her ridiculous comments and say those are ridiculous comments. Because even if you can prove that they're ridiculous comments, that doesn't necessarily mean people will support you, because you haven't yet given them a reason to support you. You've just given them a reason to think that she has said ridiculous comments.
Yeah. You know, one of the rules in communication is you don't, in combating something, you don't repeat their words or their keywords in your rebuttal. As a trial lawyer, we were always confronted with the insurance industry and corporate America wanting something called caps on damages. In other words, you could only get so much out of them so that they could plan to see how much it would cost them and which would be more effective to hurt or kill people or based on the cap. And if you didn't have a cap, they couldn't plan that way. But if you want to get in an argument where they're saying we want caps and all we're saying is no caps, no caps, no caps, the only word that is in common is caps, you have to change the subject.
Exactly.
And what I always had them change the subject to was safety. You know, that kind of thing. By the way, there was a report that came out again about Amazon and their warehouses and how unsafe they were. We've known that.
Yeah. And the biggest, among the biggest ones are here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And also UPS, there's reports about their trucks. You know, their trucks don't have air conditioning in the summertime.
It's incredible.
Things like that. So you get to change, and people understand that. You expect me to work in an unair-conditioned place while the temperatures are soaring into the 90s or 100s? People understand that. People understand that, rather than the question of should I or shouldn't I join a union or something like that.
Well, but the unions, that's an interesting point. You know, the unions have gained a lot of members in the last year. Now,
yeah.
It's true that the percentage of unionized workers is still falling, because the people working are growing. The number of people
faster
working
than
are growing.
The union jobs,
yeah,
are growing.
Exactly. But we know that nearly three quarters of the American people think unions are good and support unions. So why shouldn't the Democrats be out there promoting in the Congress pro-union legislation, anti-right-to-work legislation, even if they know they're going to get defeated? But
sure.
At least so that they'll be able to demonstrate to the very white workers that they say, oh, we've lost them to the populace, that no, the populace aren't going to support you. You know you need a union. We're going to help you get it, but you got to support us to help you get it.
Yeah, you know, the study showed that the average weekly wage is about 20% higher in unionized businesses than non-unionized businesses.
And it goes beyond that, because in communities where unions are strong, everything in the community is better. All of social life is better. The public transportation is better. The public education is better. Public health is better. Unions improve public life. And that means the private life of everybody is improved. That's just how it works. If nurses' unions fight for more nurses to be hired, mm-hmm. so that a nurse should have to not have to cover 25 patients, but could cover only 10 patients, automatically healthcare is improved for the patients.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what's that an issue of? Safety.
Yeah, safety. Exactly.
Back to safety.
Exactly.
The three winning arguments that I've been able to see are safety, transparency, and accountability. And people understand all those three, and they want all those three things. When they talk about Congress and dark money, people want transparency in that. And if somebody does something wrong, they want accountability.
That's right. That's why people hate corruption.
Yes.
Even if the amounts aren't great, It's the indignity of corruption. It's the crassness, the vulgarity of corruption. The fact that somebody can connive and sneak and get ahead and get away with it. That's what people hate.
Well, that's the big thing that autocrats, neo-fascists or totalitarians, however you want it, what they work very hard to do is to avoid accountability.
Yeah.
They want to rig the system so they don't have to be accountable.
Yeah.
Oligarchs the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
people hate it.
Yeah.
And they put up with it if they feel weak, if they're not organized, if there's no organizations that exist to oppose it. But individuals can't oppose it.
But, the trick, of course, that the GOP has been willing to pull off is to divert people's attention from that. So that you talk to people about these issues, and they'll come back to you and they'll say, "Yeah, but the border is porous. We got to stop immigration."
Right. And if the Democrats say, "Yes, we have too many immigrants," they're giving in to the racists. The fact is, we have too few immigrants. The fact is, there's not enough workers. The fact is, there's not enough people working, paying Social Security to provide the Social Security payments that the current old people need to live on. That's how the system works. Current workers pay for the people who are retired. It doesn't work any other way. If you're lacking 6 million workers, which is what we are, that means that there's a pressure on the Social Security system because there's not enough people paying into it. Where will these workers come from? People aren't going to give birth to 20-year-olds. They're going to give birth to, 20-minute-old people, 20-second-old people. You want workers who can work and pay into the Social Security fund? They got to come from abroad. And what's wrong with that? My family came from abroad to work.
But you need to package that better. And they haven't figured out a way to do that.
Because they're afraid of it. Because they've given in to the racists. They're afraid of it. What they have to say is, open borders exist for capital. And if it didn't exist for capital, there'd be no capitalism. If you couldn't buy bonds in Europe or invest in stocks in Australia or whatever, there'd be no security, there'd be no industry in Australia. Capitalism would not work. Open borders exist for capital. Why should it be closed for workers? Why should it be? What's the benefit? I'm not menaced because somebody comes to pick tomatoes in Clark Summit. I don't want to pick tomatoes in Clark Summit.
But they've done this for saying, but these are all drug mules, remember?
Yeah, but the real problem here...
People with large calves.
Yeah, racist lies. Racist lies. Because the Chamber of Commerce wants these immigrant workers.
Yeah.
They have nobody to hire. They want these immigrant workers. And if you say, they'll debase wages. They won't debase wages if you have unions and you make them join the union. Maybe organize the unions. Make it attractive. Allow the unions. Then they get paid what you get paid. People say, I don't know what people are getting paid. I'm being cheated because I don't know I'm being paid less than my coworker. On a union job, you know exactly what your coworker is getting. Everybody's getting what the contract says. There's no secret.
Isn't there a bill for transparency that you can find out what your coworkers are getting?
Yeah, I think there is such a bill. But you know what? Not every law is enforced.
True.
I hate to say it. Some people actually go to lawyers because they have no other recourse.
That's true.
But unions enforce that because within a union shop, it's not even a question. Who cares? It doesn't matter. We know, of course, what the wages are. Why should there be a secret? What's the big deal? What's secret? What's privileged about it? What do you need to keep that secret for? Only because you're competing as an individual against everybody else. In that situation, because you think you made a private deal with the boss and you don't want to give it up, you don't want anybody to know what you got.
Well, that's the divide and conquer strategy.
That's exactly right. You've signed up to be your own gravedigger when you take that point of view. It's the same as exactly. You want to beat this immigration crap? Then just say, of course we need more immigrants. Absolutely. If you say we don't have a country, if we don't have a border, we have a border. But so what? You got a border between Indiana and Illinois. So what? Does it matter? Does anybody in Illinois care whether you root for an Indiana team? Does that change anybody's life?
I still think they have to be able to track it better. But
Why do they have to track anything? Why?
We have to know who's here.
Why? Why? What do they need it for? What does anybody need it for?
Well, otherwise, you know, then you get into the exploitation of business. You know, the these immigrants who, you know, are being forced to work off the books and don't get the minimum wages and things like that.
Exactly. But that could be solved by unions. You don't have to enforce this draconian immigration regime when workers organize. Nobody would work off the books. There would be no reason to. So, I say, rather than be afraid of saying, "Oh, I can't say I'm for open borders," I say, "Yeah, I'm for open borders. What's wrong with it? There's open borders for money. Why should there be closed borders for people?" Why does some poor guy, everybody I knew as an immigrant family came here to better their life. Everybody. And when I read about history, people didn't come here from Ireland to enjoy the weather. They came here because they were starving to death in Ireland. People didn't come here from Italy because they couldn't stand Italian opera. They came to make a living. Forebears probably came here to make a living. My father came and my mother came to make a living. What's wrong with that? Why is that bad?
Oh, you got to, you know, and the second generation invariably did better than the first generation.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. And by the way, you don't want to, you made money and then you want to go back to where you came from, so you'll do it. So what's wrong with that also? What's wrong with that also? This whole business of you got to erect a wall to keep others out is directly contrary to the entire history of the human race. After all, we all started in some little valley in what's now Kenya. And look, we're everywhere. There were 30 of us someplace in a valley in Kenya. Now there's 9 billion of us everywhere. How'd we get there? We migrated. So, if we want to make America great again, if we want to make the world great again, why don't we go back to what made America great again? Migration.
Yeah. By the way, you saw this week that China is taking it on the chin. No pun intended. That they, for the first time since the Great Leap Forward, China is losing population, and they're in a terrible crisis. Because they don't have enough people to support the aging population. They went through that one child situation. So they have an imbalance of males versus females. And, you know.
And they need workers.
And they're going to need workers.
Yeah. And they don't have migration.
And nobody's rushing to move to China.
No, there's a lot of countries where there's no migration. There's no migration in Japan. They have a labor shortage, right?
Yeah. Yep. They've got the same thing, aging population.
Exactly. Well, it's not healthy for the human society to keep people penned in. It's just not healthy. And there's no reason for it. The country will get richer, not poorer, if more people come. More people come, there's more effective demand. More people work, there's more business, there's more activity, economic activity. If you're concerned that the people will be exploited, organize unions.
Well, talk about people coming to this country. How about your friend George Santos or whatever his name is?
Well, I don't know what his name is. He got so far four names.
Yeah, four names. And when did he come here? Where was he born? You know, every day it seems there's a new revelation about him.
You know, there was in literary criticism, there's a longstanding argument: who wrote Shakespeare's plays, right? Because how could this guy that they claim was Shakespeare write the plays? He had no education. How did he know all this stuff if he had no education? It must have been so forth and so on. And so every 20 years, every 30 years, they say, oh, they discovered somebody who was really Shakespeare, right? So Mark Twain said, well, he knows who wrote Shakespeare's plays. It was another guy by the same name. So the same with George Santos. What George Santos does is typical for what of what McCarthy does. He just got caught. McCarthy is, you know about McCarthy, but nobody points the finger at him. Did he do anything worse than George Santos? Seems to me he does the same, right?
Yeah, well, Santos is a good case for those two, the other two things I talk about, transparency, trying to find out where his money came from, and things like that, and accountability. Here's a guy that ran a fraudulent campaign about every aspect of his life.
Everything.
And what happens is he gets elected and he gets appointed to committees.
And by the way, who do you think was a big supporter and helper of George Santos in getting his campaign organized and getting it run successfully? Elise Stefanik.
Yeah.
The pristine princess, the number three leader of the Republican House Congressional Caucus. Elise Stefanik. Her people staffed his campaign. And now his staff is made up of Nazis. Two of them who are racist organizers before they went to work for him. We're paying for him. We're paying for those guys. Those guys get paid by the taxpayer.
Yeah. Speaking of the taxpayer and Kevin McCarthy, this is a good example of where the Democrats can separate themselves from the Republicans. As part of the deal to these crazies on the extreme, Kevin McCarthy promised that he would bring to a vote a drastic change in the tax system known as the fair tax, and which is in effect a 30% sales tax on virtually anything that you buy. And in exchange for that, he would eliminate all the IRS, all income tax, all estate tax, anything that...
Well, corporate tax.
Or corporate tax. Anything with people with higher incomes would be taxed on. And, you know, the average person still has to eat and buy clothing and a car and gasoline. And they would be paying the bulk of the taxes.
90% of the people, according to the Brookings Institute, would have an increase in taxes. A gigantic increase in taxes if this thing went into effect. Only the 1% of the population would see a tax benefit, and they would each gain a $75,000 benefit, according to the Brookings Institute.
Another massive transfer of wealth.
Yeah.
Exactly. Upward.
Yeah, upward. You know,
the Republicans always talk about, you know, transferring wealth.
Yeah.
But they never are opposed to transferring wealth upward, only downward.
And look at the goal of these guys. Why is it a fair tax? What makes it fair? Is it unfair that rich people should pay taxes? It's unfair that corporations should pay taxes?
That's the thing. I mean, they regard this as robbery.
Taxes is robbery. Yeah.
Yeah. We're the people that create the jobs. We're the people, you know, like the former president of the Pennsylvania Railroad during the coal strike, that, you know, it's our God-given position to be the lead and not, you know, not the average worker. We're the ones that are supposed to be on top.
Yeah, they're the job creators. They're the job creators. I thought that capitalism taught that effective demand was what created jobs. People have money in their pockets and they buy things that they need, and that creates jobs because people have to produce things to sell to the people who need it. Isn't that the alleged rationale of it all?
Well, that's the Keynesian theory.
But that's what Adam Smith said. He was no Keynesian. Yeah. That's what Adam Smith said. Well, that's how it works, right?
And, of course, if you start taxing things at 30%, you're going to stifle an awful lot of demand.
That's right. Especially without unions, especially without, forget fair tax, especially without fair wages. I mean, It's impossible at the minimum wage. If you worked two jobs at minimum wage jobs, you would not have enough money to live for a month. You couldn't pay the rent at the average rent. You couldn't buy food at the average cost of food. You certainly couldn't buy gas and less through the month, even if you were working full time on two full time jobs. So where's the fair wage?
Well, we'll see. And I want to see what we do in Pennsylvania. You know, one of the things I expected or hoped from Josh Shapiro was that in his inaugural address, or at least in his budget, which is coming up, that he would push for an increase in minimum wage in Pennsylvania. The states surrounding us have a higher minimum wage.
Well, 7.25 isn't good enough?
Well, it's good enough if you want to exploit labor.
Exactly.
And talking about Pennsylvania, the GOP is talking about running an autopsy to see what went wrong, as if we don't know what went wrong. Yeah. But remember, after the Mitt Romney defeat, the Republican Party ran an autopsy, and they came up and said, look, we have to be more open in terms of minorities, and we have to do things differently. And they said, thank you, and then just doubled down on what they were doing.
Fine, let them do it, because what they want to do is horrible. So why should people support them?
No, but it's interesting. Even Doug Mastriano came out when he talked about this autopsy. And one thing he said is, we have to rethink our opposition to mail-in voting. Suddenly, it occurs to them that having people vote for during several weeks versus 13 hours on one single day doesn't work very well.
Right.
For the ones that only want 13 hours, especially if that day turns out to be a lousy weather day.
Yeah. But the point is, the Democrats are not going to get anywhere upholding the rights of working people unless they uphold the rights of working people. And working people will either get turned off, as they have been, or they'll get sucked into the fascist trap, as they frequently are, unless there's an effective left wing that saves them from that. They have to be saved from that by organizing and by educating. If the Democrats can't do it, somebody else has to do it. If the Democrats don't want to do it, they shouldn't complain, because they're going to lose.
Yeah. Well, what the Republicans want to do is divert the Democrats' attention with all of these investigations and allegations.
But they shouldn't be diverted. That's all.
Exactly.
All right.
You got to put head down and move forward.
Yeah, that's right. You got to move forward. And
isn't that the name of our show?
That's the name of our show. Forward. Exactly. So let's see what they do. Let's see what they do. The Republicans are girding their loins, getting ready to mislead and do bad things for the people. And let's see if the Democrats split as usual, or they're up to actually being able to oppose it in an effective way. So we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.